Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Growing in Grace, the podcast, found at growingingrace.org. Thank you for everyone coming along, all of our new listeners as well. We know there's some of you who have been with us for a long time, and all the time we're getting new listeners as well. So thanks for coming along. We're here to encourage you to help with the understanding of the good news, the gospel, so that we can all know that God is for us and not against us, that he loves us with an everlasting love, and he'll never take that away. Despite the silly and foolish things that we do sometimes, there's nothing that, you know, the good news, the gospel, is God's righteousness given to us as a gift through nothing that we've done, out of his grace. And his grace is not dependent upon what we do or don't do. So I'm Joel Brzezicki, along with Mike Kapler. Again, it's Growing in Grace. Thank you for coming along. How's Mr. Cap doing today?
Joel, I was watching a basketball game. We watched some college basketball. And one thing I've noticed in relation to what you just said is that when a player may not pull off the greatest play, maybe they blew it, maybe they made a mistake, threw the ball away, whatever, missed an easy shot. I've noticed quite often after that happens, the teammates come over and give them five.
Right, yeah.
Reach out their hand or give them a pat or whatever. Don't worry about it. Let's move on. And I think that's probably how the Spirit of God probably deals with us if we're open to receiving that. A lot of it will have to do with how you're programmed a little bit. If religion has you thinking that God's going to get mad at you because of something you've done wrong, then you're probably going to have an incorrect view of God and may not be able to experience firsthand the love that he has for you in the way that he would like you to. So I think if we can begin to see God as somebody who says, that's behind us now, let's move on.
Yeah, that's good. And you know, he accepts us. He accepts us in the beloved. And I get a nice reminder of this every day at work, because whenever I go to sign in at work, we got a badge, we wave it across the machine, and a big green screen appears, and it says, accepted. So every day I'm reminded that I'm accepted. It's a different kind of accepted, being accepted. But we know that God accepts us because of what has been done through Christ and not through what we've done. And, you know, one thing we've been thinking about talking about here is, obviously, under the law, under the old covenant law, it was very, very conditional. You know, some things that were said in the giving of the law and throughout the law, choose life and you will live. And by choosing life, the Lord would say things like, if you do these commandments, just real quickly, and we might get into more of this, in Deuteronomy 30, 19. Now, this is in the giving of the law, but this is, and there are some, like toward the beginning of the giving of the law, that where the Lord says things like this, like Deuteronomy 6, I think. But the people of Israel are getting ready to go over into the promised land. Joshua is going to become their leader. Moses is getting ready to die. The Lord says, I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you, so the people of Israel, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. And it goes on. So life is tied to following the commandments, and curses and death goes along with not following the commandments. And so one thing I had been thinking about is the Apostle Paul, he said that he thought that the law, I think this is in Romans 7. I had it open. I don't have it open anymore. He said, oh yeah, here it is. Romans 7, verse 10. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. So, you know, Paul, of course, under the law, his entire life. He had been raised under the law, was a Pharisee, and, you know, everything, all these things about Paul. And he thought, living under the law, that it was going to bring life. That after all, God promised life to those who follow the law. But Paul said that he only found that it brought death. Even James said, he called the law of Moses the law of liberty. And he called it the perfect law of liberty. Now, why would James do that? Well, in Psalm 119, David says, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts." There was this thought that under the law, following God's law, his commandments, his precepts, there would be liberty. And then also in the Old Testament, in the Psalm, Psalm 19, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." Now, in my New Covenant circles, people that I have followed in Christianity, this has been used, I believe, wrongly. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." People will say, "Well, see, the law of the Lord is perfect, so you can look at the law and you'll see how imperfect you are, and so then you will turn to God in faith and then you'll be saved. That will convert your soul." But what was being actually said here, under this law mindset that the Psalm 19 was written under, he believed that the law of the Lord is perfect, that if you follow it, it will convert your soul. That's the idea that people had under the law, that it was a law of liberty, that it was perfect. And the law, of course, is perfect, but it's not that following it will actually convert your soul. And it promised life. And Paul, what I like about what Paul came to, the realization, the understanding that he came to, and I think this would have been when he received his revelation of the gospel directly from God, he understood then, finally, that life doesn't come from the law. In Philippians 3, he laid out all of these things where he would have confidence in his flesh, including his keeping of the law. And he said he had to count that as dung so that he could be found in Christ and not have his own righteousness, which is from the law, because that only led to death, but that he would have found in Christ alone. And so there's so much things to say when we look at what did the law really mean? What did the people who were under the law really see it as? What was their life really like? And contrast that with the understanding that Paul came to and that we find in the New Covenant, where we find that the law has nothing to do with becoming righteous. It really only does lead to death and to cursings for those who are under it. And we find the opposite to be true. Life, in fact, eternal life, simply by faith.
Boy, while you were talking, I just had so many things popping in my head, and I wonder how many of them are still in there. Sometimes I ask God, I mean, sometimes I'll have something that is just extraordinary, that's just kind of churning in me, and then I'll think to myself, it might be in a place where I can't really write it down or whatever, mm-hmm. or, you know, I'll remember it, and then I'm later, I'm trying to, oh, what was that? Oh, God. You know, and I'm asking God, I'm like, why am I having trouble with this? Why aren't you helping me?
Just to me all the time.
You're supposed to bring to my remembrance. You know, we can look through these Old Testament pages, which I did a lot as a youngster, Joel, because when you read 10 chapters of the Bible every day, you're going to read a lot of the Bible. And I had no idea as a kid, not even that much as an adult. I had no idea what most of that was even talking about. Of course, I had no understanding of an old covenant and a new covenant. And I just thought it was all one book kind of mixed together. It was all for me. But we can look through these Old Testament pages, like what you were referring to there in Deuteronomy, for example, Psalm 119. And we can find how those Jews believed that such a law, which came through Moses, such a law of works, how they viewed it to be a word which was able to save, which was able to lead them to righteousness, as long as they followed through on that very frequently mentioned requirement to actually do it and to do all of it. As long as they did that, they knew that it was a word that could save, that could lead them to righteousness. That's how they viewed it. getting into the frame of mind of the Jewish people. So these were folks who saw the precepts from that law as something that was able to bring them that liberty that you talked about from Psalm 119. They didn't realize the spiritual reality. Even after the cross, many Jews who came to believe in a risen Jesus did not understand the spiritual reality that the law, all of it, was a ministry of death, condemnation, and bondage. And we can find those things in Paul's writings. So they were still of the mindset that God would rebuke, just for example, just yanking one thing out from the law here, they were still of the mindset that God rebuked those or even resisted those who wandered from the word of those stone tablets. But, and you'll notice, like you mentioned Psalm 119, where that liberty thing is mentioned. But notice, as Psalm 119, it's a really, really long psalm. But if you'll take the time, just take one psalm, 119, and maybe go through it more than once. Go through it slowly. Go through it carefully and try to absorb it, especially when contrasted with the things that Paul said about the law under a new and better covenant. But you'll get the idea, or get a better understanding of the frame of mind for those under that law-based covenant. Again, even those after the cross who still believed it was in place for them. They still believed they were in relationship to it. And you'll notice, like in Psalm 119, for example, the correlation between word and law, how salvation is far from those who did not seek the statutes, but they had a belief that there was hope for them when doing the commandments. And those who believed in a risen Jesus, who still had that concept of being required to follow the law, talking about Jewish people here, they've received the Spirit, they're saved. But without a revelation that Jesus became the end of the law for those who believe, and the stone tablet ministry came to be abolished and obsolete in Christ, without that revelation, the goal for most Jewish believers after the cross was to continue on that same treadmill to nowhere, right, as far as justification goes. They just keep on trying their best at fulfilling it. As James mentioned, you can start with loving your neighbor as yourself, and if you do that, if you fulfill that, you're doing well. They'd be the first in human history to ever do it perfectly. So doing well by trying to follow a word or a law, like what we're talking about here, that's not going to get you to where you want to go. Jesus brought us the perfection that people are seeking. And it came through him. It came through blood that was shed once.
Yeah. It was a one-time shedding of the blood. That is the way that we have been forgiven, not by changing anything that we do, not by trying to live up to any commandments. And the way that we've been made alive together with God is through the resurrection of Jesus. And again, that's not through anything that we've done or do, not through any way that we've lived. It's all by grace and having nothing to do with what we've done. The law made promises, if you do this, you'll be blessed in what you do. And not to pick on James, but that's he quoted
right.
That.
Exactly.
He quoted that in James 1. He said, if you do this, you'll be blessed in what you do. Again, speaking about what he called the perfect law of liberty. And what I like about what Paul did with all of this is that, so we have in Deuteronomy 30, I'll find it here, 14. Deuteronomy 30, 14. So again, this is after the people have been getting, this is when they've been getting ready to go into the promised land. This is the starting at verse 11. This is the commandment which I command you today. It's not too mysterious for you, or some versions say hidden or difficult. The Lord is saying, it's right here for you to see. It's plain for you to see. Nor is it far off, talking about the law, the commandments. It's very plain for them to see. We can get into more of that if we want to. But so anyway, he goes on to say, the word in verse 14, but the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Does that sound familiar to anybody? The word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart. And that's the word, again here, is the commandments. the law of Moses. That is what is very near them, in their mouth and in their heart. Now, here it adds, the Lord adds, that you may do it. So he's saying, it's right here. It's right here for you to do. And see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. And choose life, he says. And that's by choosing life, what he means is choose to obey the commandments. Now, take these same words, but the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart. And look at Romans 10 and what Paul said. Now, he has been talking about the gospel. He has been saying things in Romans 9 and 10 that have to do with the righteousness which is in the law, says the man who does those things shall live by them. That's Romans 10, 5. So he's quoting from the law. But then when he gets to this, he's verse 8, he says, but what does it say? What does the righteousness by faith say? So he switches from the righteousness which is by the law, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Now, if we just left it right there, the Jewish person who's reading this would understand that quote, the word is near you, in your heart, in your mouth and in your heart, as that they would understand that as a Deuteronomy quote. But Paul, with his revelation of the gospel, he turns this around. This is what I love. He says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So under the new covenant, it's no longer the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the law, but it's the word of faith which we have preached. If you confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So that's a big difference there between the things that we find under the law. And Paul knew that law like nobody else. He really did. And then he also fortunately received the revelation of the gospel from God directly. So he knew to tell these people that the word now is the word of faith, confessing Jesus and believing in him and being saved.
What a big difference between Deuteronomy 30:14 and Romans 10:8. And you can see the cross-reference right there. It shows it. Paul is quoting Deuteronomy 30:14. But he, as you said, Joel, he clarifies, whereas under the law in Deuteronomy, here's the word of the law. Now you can do it. It's not far from you. It's within your reach. Go for it. But Paul clarifies that we're preaching a word. We're sharing a word with you. The word is near you, just like the word was near the Jews in Deuteronomy 30. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Not that you may do it, but that is, we're talking about the word of faith, which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you see the difference here, though? The word of faith versus just the word of the law, because the law is not based on faith, as Paul explained to the Galatians. So big contrast there.
Yeah, and we'll talk some more about this. Some things came to mind before we were talking about this that had to do with the parable of the Good Samaritan and the rich young ruler, or the certain lawyer saying, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That goes along with all this. So we'll talk about that and some other things coming up next week on Growing in Grace.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.